Please take your Bibles, turn in them to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15. Page 234 in your Scofield Bible, Deuteronomy 15:15, and we'll begin with verse 15, and we'll go to other verses in the book. Let's stand, please, everyone standing for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verse in unison, and then we'll go to other verses as I direct you. 15th verse, ready, together. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And chapter 16, verse 12. Let's read, please. Ready? And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. Thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Now turn to chapter 24, page 242, verse 18. Page 243, rather. And let's read that. Ready? But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. And verse 22 in that chapter. Ready? And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. And let's pray. Father, it's a delight to know Thee. It's a wonderful privilege and blessing to serve Thee. And it's always a joy to be here in this place. Thank You for First Baptist Church. Thank You for the way that it's stood through the years. And even now, Thou hast blessed us with so many good things. Bless us with this good crowd today. We pray for Thy blessing upon the service, upon each member, upon those who visit with us. Make it a good day and speak to our hearts. Bless the preaching and preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
When God chooses five times to put almost the same words in the Bible, they must be very important words. Occasionally, you'll find the same passage repeated twice or once, repeated and repeated again. But I do not know if there are passages. For example, the just shall live by faith is mentioned four times in the Bible. Once in the Old Testament, it's quoted three times in the New. That must be a pretty important verse. But this passage, we read a while ago four times, and it's almost word for word a fifth time in Deuteronomy 5:15. We find almost the same words, same verse, five times in the Bible. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee. Now, God must place a big importance on this passage, if He had mentioned it, and the Holy Spirit would inspire it. It's being written five times. Now, the interesting thing is, it's written five times to the same people, and written five times in the same book. For example, the people of God are reminded when the Ten Commandments were given. They're reminded, okay, so God blessed you, and God gave you the tablets of stone, but He said, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Then there came a time in the life of Israel when they had plenty. They had a lot of food and good places to live. And so God said, don't forget now. He said, while you eat your plenty and dwell in your nice homes, He said, don't forget. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Then they came to the place to where they were supposed to help the widows and the poor. And when God said, I want you to help the widows and the orphans and the poor, God said, now here's why I want you to do it. God said, don't forget. He said, thou shalt remember thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. And then when they, again, God said to them, remind them not to return to sin. God said, don't you go back into sin. He said, don't forget. Remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Everything I'm going to say this morning has to do with this. Don't you forget what you were before God found you. Don't forget it. The wise man said one time, remember the pit from which you were digged. Don't forget what you used to be. two or three times in my ministry here, somebody said, when are we going to quit hearing about little Jackie boy and how the preacher prayed for him and how he was in poverty and how that God saved him and he was the son of a drunkard? We're going to quit hearing that. When these lips have closed and can speak no more, when this tongue can move no more, when this heart can feel no more, when this mind can think no more, and when you walk by and see this old body in the grave or in the casket, then I'll quit talking about when I was a little poor kid and Jackie boy and how that God reached down and made a preacher somewhat out of me. And then when you look at me and say, well, your boy's finally hushed up, he's not talking about little Jackie boy getting saved anymore, then I'll be just blabbering it louder than ever in heaven and reminding folks, remember, when the Lord said, thou shalt remember, when you wear your nice clothes, don't forget you're once a bond in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Remember, when you have your Ph.D. degree, don't forget, Dr. Evans, you're once a bondman in Nebraska. And Nebraska? Iowa, that's worse than Nebraska. And the Lord thy God has redeemed thee from Nebraska. Don't forget, Brother Sully, when you think you're doing pretty good, and don't forget, you used to own three taverns here in the area. Thank God you're rid of two of them now, only one you run now. And don't forget that you were a bondman to the bottle in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. And so God five times says it, and if God five times said it, you'd better know God meant for us to do it. Don't forget the taverns you once went to. Don't forget the words you used to say. Don't forget the crowds you used to run with. Don't forget the needle that pierced your arm. Don't forget the shack in which you live. Don't forget the misery and the heartache and sleepless nights. Don't forget them. I put it this way so often. Don't forget your roots. Don't forget your roots. Don't get too good for your past if your past was humble. And don't forget your past. Somebody says, Brother House, I'm worried about this. My whole life, I can't forget it. What's wrong? God doesn't want you to forget it. David said, my sin is ever before me. And God wants you not to forget what you used to be. Now, Heavenly Father, bless the message this morning to our hearts. And may we thank God for what we have in Christ as we compare it to what we once had and what we once were. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody said, I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I wish I were, and I'm not what I'm going to be, thank God. But bless God, I'm not what I used to be. And that's what the Lord means here. The National Anthem. I guess it is. I have it out here. I call it that. The national anthem of the church, I think, is this song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. And how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I could sing that for you, but I thought I'd be good to you this morning and read it to you. And who wrote this? Who wrote this national anthem of the church? Who was it? A man who'd been in a seminary? No. A man who'd been in a Christian college and studied systematic theology? No. Who was this man? One of the apostles who walked with... No. No, this man was a fellow named John Newton. John Newton, whose mother died when he was 7. John Newton became a sea sailor when he was 11, and down into sin, as all sailors go, down into sin, and down, 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 down into sin. And the truth is, he got hooked up in the slave trade. And he himself was buying and selling slaves until one day he became a slave. John Newton became a slave to a slave. A Negro lady bought John Newton and put John Newton under her table. And this old slave trader himself became a slave. Not just a slave, but a slave to a slave. And that's what you are today if you're living in sin. You're a slave to a slave. Satan is a slave. You're a slave to a slave. Liquor someday will be bound. You're a slave to a slave. And John Newton came to the bottom, as all people do when they go into sin. The Bible still rings out the words, be sure your sin will find you out. And the Bible is still true when it says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
and down and deeper and deeper and deeper John Newton went, till finally he was the slave to a slave, and the Negro lady who owned him as a slave would eat off the top of the table and take the crumbs or the peeling off the bread or the edge of the bread and toss it under the table, and John Newton would eat the crumbs from the bread thrown to him by a slave. And he got so far into sin, he became just a vegetable. In fact, he was almost unable to think. And then one day, marvelously, God saved him. That's the only way God ever saves anybody, is marvelously. And that's the way God saved you. And God saved him. And John Newton got saved, but he had a problem. He could not remember. His memory was gone. In fact, if you will read the autobiography of John Newton, and you ought to do it sometime, of John Newton, these words he says often, I forgot. Or he says many times, I soon forgot. Or he says, this too, I forgot. Or he says often, I totally forgot. So a fear gripped him that he would forget that he once was a slave. And so he found this verse, thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. He had it painted on a big sign, thou shalt remember that thou once was a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee. And he had that put over the mantelpiece in his study, so as he sat at his desk, he could always see that. He didn't want to forget it. That word, thou shalt remember, means thou shalt remind thyself. It means thou shalt put some reminder. And so John Newton was doing what that verse says. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. The Lord thy God redeemed thee. He opened his Bible to prepare a sermon. Every time that John Newton prepared a sermon, he had right beside his Bible written down these words, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Ah, the Lord hath redeemed thee. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his wonderful mercy. His child and forever I am. I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. Ah, thou hast redeemed me. And John Newton said, there are two things I never want to forget. I don't want to forget that I was once a bondman. Now think about your past for a minute. What were you? What were you? A slave to alcohol? Don't forget it. Don't forget it. And don't forget the Lord hath redeemed you. What were you? A slave to the needle? Don't forget it. Don't forget it. And John Newton, as he'd prepare a sermon, look over here and see that verse. It was his life's verse over and over again. The famous old Puritan, Thomas Goodwin, he had this verse for his last verse, and he gave me an idea one day when I was reading something about him, and I've done it now for these many years. I've used this passage, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, the Lord thy God be in thee, when I'm threatened to become cold in my ministry. If all of a sudden I get a little cold, I think of this verse, and I think about what I used to be. When I dispense the Lord's Supper, I always think of this verse. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee. I was talking to one of our workers here this week, and she said, we're asked talking about how to inspire people to do things. And, of course, as inspired as you are now, you know I'm qualified to do that. But I said to this worker, I said, the way I inspire myself whenever I'm preaching, if I get a little cold of heart, I just stop and remember when I was a poor boy and how good God's been to me. And I can hardly keep from weeping when I think how good God has been to me. Don't forget, Brother Sully. Don't forget, Brother Fernandez, about the days you spent in Cuba. Don't forget about the Castro regime. And don't forget how one day you got delivered. And don't forget any child of God. Don't forget it. Remember what you used to be. And remember what you are now. And say with John Newton, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But blind was blind, but now I see. When I walk to the pulpit down these steps, there's several things I do every Sunday. One thing I do is ask God to help me to preach with the same fervor that I wanted my pastor to have the day that my pastor preached to my daddy. And my daddy went to church for the only time in his life with me. And I always say when I walk through that door, oh, God, give me the same burden and compassion I wanted my pastor to have the night that my daddy sat in church beside me. Then I always say this when I walk through the door. I always say, dear God, help me to preach this morning or tonight as if this were the last sermon I'd ever preach. And then I always think about what I was before God found me. I think about that night when I preached my first sermon. Dan Davis, a young preacher, had a church called the Cedar Temple Baptist Church. And he said one day, he said, "Jack, understand you've been called to preach." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Jack, I'll be on vacation next Wednesday night. Would you preach for me?" And I said, "Yes." Now, folks, I didn't know you had to study. I didn't know you were supposed to prepare a sermon. The pastor had always said, ask God to lay something on his heart. And I honestly thought that when you got up to preach that God told you what to say. But God didn't tell me what to say. And I'll never forget that night when the deacon chairman stood up. I guess there's been 100 people there. And he said, "Folks, our pastor's on vacation, but he has not left us without a preacher." He didn't know he was lying, but he said, "He's not left us without a preacher." He said, "Reverend Hiles is here." I'll never forget what he said. He said, "All of us, I'm sure, are anxiously waiting to hear what God has laid upon Reverend Hiles' heart." And I said, myself, I don't know about the rest of the people, but I know I am anxiously waiting to hear what God has laid on Reverend Hiles' heart. And did you know God forgot to lay anything on my heart? And for 3 minutes, I take it back, he laid stuttering on my heart. And I said to the folks, "It's too hot in here." And I said, "Is anybody hot?" Everybody was hot. And I preached for 3 minutes on how hot it is in here. And finally, I stopped and I said, "Folks, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God has called me, but I've had preached before tonight, and I thought I could, and I'm sorry, and I want you to forgive me." And the deacon chairman stood up and said, "Folks," he said, "I'm sorry too." He said, "I thought he was a preacher. I don't know anything to do now. There's nobody here to preach, and he can't, nobody can." And he said, "Let's just go home." We had the closing prayer. I went back to my little room that night and got beside the bed, and I said, "Oh God, I can't do it. But I said, if you'll ever make me a preacher, I'll promise you one thing. I'll promise you every time I get through preaching, I'll go alone and remember tonight. I'll not forget it. I'll not forget it." And I've broken on promises, I guess, through these years. I've not broken that promise. Every time I finish preaching, I don't care where I am, Monday night in New York City and Tuesday night in New York City Wednesday night in New Jersey, I went alone in my room and I said, "Lord, thank you. I'm not much preacher, but thank God I'm not what I was that night either." And so the Lord said, "Don't forget it." And again he said, "Don't forget it." And again he said, "Don't forget it." And again he said, "Don't forget it." And the fifth time he said, "Don't forget it." "Don't forget what?" "He said two things. Don't forget." Five times he said it. One, "Don't forget what you were." And two, "Don't forget that the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee." Oh, don't forget it. Don't forget it. When I prepare a sermon, I think of this verse. When I check into a motel, often I think of this passage. I check into some nice motel, maybe, and I'm an honored guest, or somebody stands up and says, as they often do, I guess the introduction I get more than any other introduction is, "Dr. Jack Hiles is the pastor's pastor." More preachers, they say, look to him than probably any other preacher as their pastor. And I have a stack of calls that high. I guess I need to call preachers who need help and so forth. And I sit there as they give me some kind of a little exaggerated introduction. And I think about that first time I tried to preach. And I thank God for His goodness. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget, prodigal, that you once were in the hog pen. Don't forget the end of the rope. Don't forget when you spent all, prodigal. Don't forget the husk you ate. Don't forget the lonely nights from home. Don't forget the price of sin. Don't forget the bitter dregs of sin. Don't forget it. When you have the party and enjoy the fatted calf, don't forget where you came from. While you have your suit or clothes all given by your dad, and while you inspect that ring your dad gave you, and while you look at your new shoes, and while you're having the welcome home party, don't forget, prodigal son, don't forget. Last night you stepped in the hog pen. Last night you ate husk for supper. Last night you had the bitter taste of the end of sin. Don't forget it. Don't forget, little lamb on the shoulder of the shepherd. Don't forget, as your little legs hang over either the sides of his neck, and as he holds you, as he takes you back to the fold. Don't forget, little lamb. Don't forget the wilderness. Don't forget the far country. Don't forget the mountains, and don't forget the rocks and steep places. Don't forget it. Don't forget, Mary Magdalene, as you serve the Savior, and as you come and find the empty sepulcher, and as you come and see the living Christ and say, "Rabboni," don't forget, Mary Magdalene, you once were bound by 7 devils. Don't you forget it. Don't forget, Moses, you once were a slave lad. Don't forget, Friendsman of Jacob, you once were a dirty trickster, cheating your brother of his birthright and of the father's blessings. Don't forget, Apostle Paul, as you circle the Mediterranean Sea and bring the gospel toward the Western Hemisphere, don't you forget, Apostle Paul, you once were a dirty sinner, condemning and trying to kill, persecute Christians. Don't forget, mighty Gideon, you once were a timid little introvert, hiding behind the winepress to thresh your wheat. Don't forget, thou that holds the sling, standing over Goliath's fallen body. Don't forget, you were the least likely one of your brothers to sit on the throne. Don't forget, Caleb and Joshua, as you wait to enter into the promised land. Don't you forget, you once were slaves. You once were in brick factories of Egypt. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. What, dear beloved of God, once you were poverty-stricken, and now you drive good cars and wear nice clothes and live in good houses, eat good food. Don't forget what you used to be. And so God comes along and says, "All my people, listen to me." He said, "Remember that thou wast a bondman. Remember." And then he said, number two, "All of my people, remember that thou hast been redeemed." And again, God comes and says, in case you forget it, he said, "Remember that thou wast once a bondman. And remember that thou hast been redeemed." And the third time he comes and says, in case you've forgotten, "Remember that thou wast a bondman, and remember that thou hast been redeemed." And the fourth time God comes and says, "Remember that thou wast once a bondman in Egypt, and remember that thou hast been redeemed." And the fifth time he comes and says, in case you've forgotten, "Remember that thou wast once a bondman." I think everybody in this room today ought to go alone sometime this afternoon and re-examine those old years when you lived in sin, and you tried to find the answer, and you couldn't sleep at night, and you tossed and tumbled, and your heart was sore and distressed, and depression came, and you wondered if life was worth living. And then remember that night or day when somebody took this blessed book and told you about the Redeemer, and somebody told you, "We heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves," and you bowed your head and lifted your heart to God and said, "I do now receive Christ as my Savior." And a recording angel took the Lamb's Book of Life and opened it to the letter where your name is and wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God forgave all of your sins, and you could say, "Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away." Everybody ought to go alone this afternoon and remember the old days and then thank God that you're redeemed. Redeemed! How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't forget, Brother Hiles, when you preach to thousands of people, don't forget the little shack you once lived in, and the birthdays and Christmases and Thanksgivings you once had. Don't forget, as you put your clothes on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Monday or Tuesday to preach somewhere across the country, don't forget the fact that you didn't own your own pair of shoes till you were 14 years of age. Don't forget when you ate your good food. Don't forget the night you went to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because there was nothing to eat in the cupboard. Don't forget, Brother Hiles. I was thinking a while ago, we always talking about how much we weigh coming down the alley. John Olson and Dick Liebig and who else? What are the fatty is that? Kwiatkowski. We're out of his league. I mean, he's got a leg bigger than any of us total. We're always talking about how much we weigh. I said, "Let's don't talk about weight." I gained 3 pounds this week. I said, "Don't talk about weight." And I got to thinking about when I was a little boy, wishing I could weigh 100 pounds, 15 years old, 16 years old, wishing I could weigh 100 pounds, 17th birthday, wishing I could weigh 100 pounds. Now that I'm 54, wishing I could weigh 100 pounds. Oh, my. As you dress for church, don't forget what you used to be. And as you enter your nice house, don't forget what you used to be. And as you drive an air-conditioned car, don't forget what you used to be. And as you sit at the table this morning or at noon, don't forget what you used to be. Remember! Make thyself remember! And God said, don't forget. I don't think it's wrong for God. I like it. Anybody up here have a suit on I bought you? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I don't mind it if one of you fellows walks up and says, "This is the suit you bought me." I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. I'm sorry I didn't remember the Colston size, but it's a nice piece of material anyway. And I don't mind that, and I don't think God minds. I don't think God minds us coming to God. I never forget what I was before you found me. I don't think it's a sacrilegious to say up in heaven God goes. I think that's wrong. I think God likes to be reminded. And I think God likes to us walk up and say, Lord, this robe of righteousness, this suit you bought me, I sure like it. I sure like it. Yeah. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. I have joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. What's wrong with me saying, Jesus, I sure like this robe you covered me with. I sure like this salvation. Sure like this robe of righteousness. I remember what it was. And listen, that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. He wants us to not forget. And God comes along and says, he said, folks, remember. And he says, again, don't forget it. And again, don't forget it. And again, don't forget it. By the way, you know what? If you'll remember what you used to be, you won't be too critical of what folks are now. Yeah. There's not much room. I mean this. There's not much room for us to criticize anybody else. I'm 54 years of age. And the more I live, the more disgusted I get with myself. Other night, I was praying beside the bed in a motel room. Felt beside the bed about 11:30. And I woke up at 2 o'clock. Leaning up against the bed. My knees had dropped out from under me, and I was leaning against the bed. 2 o'clock in the morning. And the first impression was to laugh about it. And the second impression was to tell you about it. And the third impression was, I'll be glad and I don't do this. I'll be glad and I can not go to sleep when I pray. And I'll be glad when I can not ever have to work on getting a warm heart. And I'll be glad my body is strong enough to do all I want to do. I want to preach so much more than to do. I get invited. I go somewhere and thought, would you preach here and there? I get invited usually when I preach somewhere, to preach somewhere else 7 or 8 times a day. And used to, I could do that. My voice won't do it anymore. About 3 or 4 times a day is all I can do it anymore and have any voice left for the last service at night. But I'm saying this, there's so much bad about me. I don't think I better say much bad about you. And there's so many weaknesses I have, I expect I would not say much about yours. John Newton. When John Newton died or was dying, he wrote his own epitaph and he was placed on the tombstone. And this is what he wrote. And listen carefully because you could write this too. This is what he wrote. And this is on his tombstone. John Newton, clerk. Once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, and pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had so longer labored to destroy. Preserved! You know what that means? Huh? Did your mama ever make preserves? That's exactly what that means. I can see mama now making preserves and the old pressure cookers. Remember those old pressure cookers? And Mama would seal that thing. And you know what? Those preserves would taste exactly like the... 6 months later, if you open a jar of preserves, they'd taste just like the one they put in. And 43 years ago, the Holy Spirit preserved me. And I've been a pastor ever since. Been a pressure cooker ever since. And 43 years ago, the Holy Spirit preserved me. And do you know, when Jesus comes again and I rise to meet him in the air, my salvation will be just as fresh and just as real as it was 43 years ago when I was an 11-year-old boy and helped him receive Christ as Savior. John Newton on his tombstone said, write it down, preserved, restored, pardoned. William J. of Bath came to John Newton's bedside as he was dying. And John Newton said, Mr. Bass said, remember me? And old John Newton, the old vegetable, the old slave of slaves, He said,
"I don't remember."
He looked up to his friend, William J. of Bath, and he said to Mr. J.,
"I don't remember you." And Mr. J. said, "Have you forgotten?" And old John Newton said, "I've forgotten everything but two things." And Mr. J. said, "What are those two things, John?" He said, "The only thing I haven't forgotten is I am a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior." And then he pushed himself up on his weak arms, and in a clear voice he sang, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When I've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no more no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." And he was gone. And somebody noticed some writing over beside him. And they picked up that little piece of paper or so, all which he had written. And this was what was written: "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God hath redeemed thee." Heavenly Father,